Kadosh. Remember, remember, Adonai Eloheinu.
Welcome to Romamu, an open-hearted Jewish community and house of worship, learning, and spiritual growth. You're listening to Romamu's podcast, where we share words of Torah, insights, and inspiration from Romamu clergy. Thank you for being with us.
And Jacob escaped from Be'er Sheva and went towards Haran. Jacob fled. Jacob fled because his brother wanted to kill him. And so Jacob was given the instructions by his mother and his father and told to go towards Padan Aram, towards Lavan, towards his mother's brother, his uncle, Laban. He was running alone. Night descends upon him and he finds himself sleeping in the middle of a field. He lay down. Vayetze, the word to leave. Yitziyah Mitzrayim, when we hear in the Torah, to leave Egypt, the word Vayetze, Yitziyah means to be in Exodus, to walk away, run. As Jacob ran, the tradition says that he went towards Haran, and there's a rabbinic gloss that says, Haran, Charono Shel Olam, he went from the safety and security of his home towards the anger of the world. The word Haran, which is the name of the place, is playfully misread as Charon Af, meaning rage. Jacob left security, home, safety, warmth, and was going towards a very dark and painful world. But in honor of the ceasefire that is now holding for one day and for the blessing of having 13 of our hostages brought back, the last four times that I've spoken at Romamu, I've gone basically from a place of Be'er Sheva towards Haran myself. And rest assured, and I'll be honest with all of you here in this community, anyone online, whoever is going to watch me speak, I haven't really begun to express how angry I am. How disappointed I am, how disillusioned I am, how much I see is happening in the progressive world that I lived in for so many years, and how dangerous it is and what it portends for the future of North American Jewish life and the future of Jewish life outside of Israel. But tonight, I want to talk about light. Tonight, I want to talk a little bit about this amazing dream, because Jacob, of course, is terrified, and he lays down in the middle of a field, puts a rock underneath his head and calls it a pillow. And then as a dream, he places that makeshift pillow and sleeps and dreams of a ladder reaching up towards heaven. Angels are ascending and descending upon it. At the top of this ladder, he finds Adonai. God is standing there. Nitzav alav, standing above him. And God reaffirms the promise of land and blessings to Jacob. What does the sulam, the ladder, mean in Jacob's dream? For 2,000 years, many, many offerings, many, many interpretations have been put forth. I want to just share three of them. The first interpretation is, according to the sages, that the sulam was the stairway leading from the temple altar up to God. It was a stairway to heaven. It was a conduit that moved from the altar where things were offered directly into the presence of God. And this sulam then represents the bridge between human agency and divine grace. The second image offered by the rabbis is connected to the word sulam itself, which means ladder or ramp, and its numerical value is the same as the word Sinai. Sulam or ladder is the same numerical value to the rabbis as Sinai, and that numerical equivalence is also a meaning equivalence. The ladder is Sinai. Jacob has a vision of Sinai, and with its concomitant image of wisdom, of revelation, of knowing something he did not know before. And the third interpretation, the one repeated in at least four different midrashim in the earlier part of Jewish history, is that what he saw on the sulam was not revelation, nor was it the gateway between the altar and human agency and divine grace, but Jewish history itself. And the sulam represents the temporal dimension of Jewish history, and that the angels going up and down are all of the different kingdoms and magisteriums and lands in which worlds ascended and then were brought low. Babylonia, Madai, Greece. Jacob was shown a window into the future of the Jewish people and our own struggle in those lands. I love all of those. Chose those three on purpose. They speak to me at this moment and they intersect with where we are this Shabbat. Human agency and divine grace. If there ever was a moment in Jewish history where we saw human agency being met with divine grace, it's the last couple of weeks where these 13 miraculous, right? And now, God willing, many more, these hostages are being brought back because of the tireless work of the Jewish community, the tireless work of diplomats, the tireless work on the ground to try to make sure that this could happen. And in some way, the sulam here represents the advocacy work that all of us are doing and engaging in. Moving from the altar into divine presence means that we have seen heroes and heroines. We've seen people rising up in the most incredibly difficult circumstances to show up, to bring their offerings, whether it's in the middle of right here in New York City or whether it's in Tel Aviv or Jerusalem, people showing up all the time, bringing what they have and making a difference. V'nei sulam mutzav arza. Here is this ramp between our offerings and divine grace. We have witnessed incredible light from this community and other communities. We've also seen a revelation. I know that many of you know that the number 49 in our tradition is a very significant number. Between Passover and Shavuot, between the holiday of freedom and the holiday of Torah, there are 49 days. Today was the 49th day since seventh week, since October 7th. And Dafka today, we saw a moment of Sinai. Specifically today, on this day, we saw the profound revelation that these chatufim, these hostages, were well and they were at least physically unharmed. But I think more deeply over the last 7 weeks, we've learned a lot of different Torah, haven't we? There's a lot of Torah that's been revealed to us that we might not have known. The Torah of the continued presence of anti-Semitism, the Torah of unity amongst the Jewish people, the Torah of the disappointment of Western intellectualism to rise to the occasion. It's also a Torah of moral clarity. Lots of Torah over the last 7 weeks. But I want to talk about the last one now, the last interpretation of Sulam, which is that it represents Jewish history. Jewish history, with all of its ups and downs, with all of its trials and tribulations, Jewish history, with each and every generation wondering if this will be the generation that merits to have shalom. I think that sits with me more than all of them. I wonder to myself, as the rabbis wrote this 1,000, maybe 1,400 years ago, could they have imagined the next 1,500 years would be just as brutal as the previous 1,000? Could they have imagined that no matter where we went, we would be rising and falling? What's the depressing, futuristic, deterministic prognosis for the Jewish people that everywhere we go, it's going to be bad for us? Not exactly light-filled on a night like tonight. And certainly not exactly light-filled and redemptive, given that, as I said earlier tonight, just this week on our back door were graffiti with anti-Semitic symbols and other things there. But I think that the rabbis were actually telling us something that should give us hope and light. The fact that Malachi Elohim Olim V'Yordim Bo, the fact that different regimes will come and go, isn't meant to depress us, but to give us chizuk, to give us strength. We're not going anywhere, the Jewish people. We're here to stay. And the existential threats that we experience, which are real, should be undergirded by a deep faith. We've seen Rome come and go. We saw the Nazis come and go. We saw Stalin come and go. We will see Islamic jihadism come and go. We will see fundamentalism come and go. And I just could not help but think to myself as I read this midrash about these little people, you know, thinking about Amelia Aloni. People have read about Amelia Aloni. She turned 5, I think, yesterday or today. Daniela Aloni and her daughter, Amelia. She's thinking about her dreams and about her sulamot or the different, like if she had a dream, could she even imagine dreaming? God should bless her not to have nightmares. But if she had a sulam and if she had seen in an image, God showed her, like Hamas will come and go. Certainly, we would say it to the parents, we would say it to the grandparents, and they would say too, we're not going anywhere. And it's not just the Jewish people, but the values of our people, and the values of that are at stake at this moment here in this war between, literally between the West and a world of extremist thinking, ideologies of hatred that are not appeased at any moment and can't be appeased. Or what we say to these children, 49 days, we might say to them, we need ladders to remember that ladders lead from earth up to heaven and from heaven down to earth. And even though the vision is a vision of a Jewish people that will be encircled, a Jewish people that will be embattled, a Jewish people that will be double standarded, a Jewish people that will have to live with the undercurrents of hatred and symbols of hatred, but just like that door was covered over, the Jewish people covered over, we move forward. There will always be this light of hope within the Jewish people. We'd say to her that just as we leap to reach the bottom rung of the heavenly ladder, God also lowers the ladder to meet our outstretched arms because we continue to seek that peace, to seek that divine one above, and that when we can't grasp it, God will lower it slightly so that we might meet it. Jacob's dream is a reminder that even in the darkest moments when we feel disconnected and vulnerable, a ladder is connecting us to the divine, to hope, and to each other. It teaches us that we're not alone in our struggles. There are angels and there are messengers of light who guide and protect us, and even some allies. This week, the very first phone calls that I received, actually, after the graffiti, were from a number of interfaith leaders around the city who reached out to ask if I was okay. It felt so meaningful to me to hear from them, to be reminded that people are still with us at this moment. I'm really buoyed by the fact that over Hanukkah, a group of communities, Christian and Jewish communities will come together at the 92nd Street Y to break bread, including Romelu and others, to be reminded again that we are not alone, that there will always be people there who see us in our light. This Shabbat of the ladder, I couldn't help but thinking that the angels who were going up and down were bringing us these beautiful children and these beautiful mothers and grandmothers back to our safety, back home, imagining them as rungs in that ladder, 240 and now fewer rungs in that ladder, and praying that God gives us the strength to continue, right, to continue bringing them back. We need that strength and we need that resilience and that courage. And last thing, when Jacob wakes up, he's terrified. And God comes to him and says, don't be afraid, Jacob. Hine anochi imach, ushmarticha b'chol asher telech, v'ashivoticha al adama, asher nishbati. God says to Jacob, you're about to leave Israel. You're about to leave the land, leave security and safety. But I will watch over you and make sure that you come back in safe keeping. I will not leave you. Ki lo ezavcha. I will not leave you until the thing that I promised you is done. I can honestly say that this community and communities like this are fulfilling God's promise towards the people of Israel. We're standing strong with them at this moment, saying to them, we will not abandon you. We will not actually leave. We'll be with you throughout this. I'm going to be going to Eretz Yisrael. I'm going to be going to Israel on Sunday night and taking this entire community with me. I'll be there for a week and I'll be able to visit, as many of my colleagues already have, the different sites where these horrific acts took place, where the pogrom took place. I'm hoping that we'll also meet some of the hostages' families and also maybe even some of those who've been brought back. And I'm also buoyed by the fact that we'll be meeting with some very courageous leaders in the Arab, in the Israeli Arab community as well, and some of the Palestinians who are there, who are still have a flicker of hope that they might build peace in the land, which I also hope, and I know all of us do as well. It's a rough time, but God bless us to be able to remember that our ancestors, the Sulam, all of the different ones who came before, they will come and go. And our ancestors are saying to us, you're going to make it. They're not leaving us too until we finish the work that we're going to do. God bless all of us with ladders to heaven. And let us say, Amen.
Thank you for listening. Want more content like this? Subscribe to our podcast and visit romamu.org to learn more about us. Please consider making a contribution to Romamu so we can continue to fulfill our mission to help spiritual seekers deepen their connection to Jewish wisdom and practice to help them become more compassionate human beings. We hope to see you in the synagogue or the Zoomagogue soon. Romamu, Romamu, Adonai.